Blake Salmon of Salmon Brothers joins us, just returned from a visit to the opening foray of activity at the Masters. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What is it like if someone comes up to you who hasn't been before, and I have not, and they say, tell me what it's like?
It's one of those things, and actually it's funny you ask that, because I've taken my dad, I've taken my son, I took a couple friends this year that had never been, and I kind of tell them to explain that that answer to me when we're done. And my answer is, you can't explain it. There's no explanation for it. Your eyes, they take it all in. The pictures, television, photography, nothing gives it justice until you actually walk through the gates and put your feet on that grass and able to look at that vast area of which was once fruit lands and a vision of Bobby Jones a long time ago and what's become basically what I call heaven on earth.
When you were telling me about some of the things you witnessed, and we'll go into some of the events, etc., you had a chance to take in during your couple of days down there, you talked about the extension on one of the greens. And even at the Masters, there are changes based upon probably in part technology, lengthening the players because the players can hit longer and farther all the time. But you say the way they can do things, the way they can build a new attraction, the way they can change the course, when you get there and look at it, it doesn't look like there was new construction or anything of that matter. It looks like it's been there since it was composed in 1934.
Absolutely. You know, when Tiger set all the records and he won in 97, they tried to, per se, Tiger-proof the course,
right,
and they made it longer. And each year they do different things. This year, if you're watching on television, you know, I believe it's number five. Well, let's see, is it number five? They lengthened the hole by 45 yards. So it is now basically a 495-yard par four, which obviously makes a huge difference for players that don't bomb it. And it makes for a second shot with a wood now for the players, you know, that they can't get it out there quite as far. But in listening to the players talk, you know, it looks like it has always been there forever. It's a new tee bed, but it blends in with all of the grounds, and you would never know it's there. But obviously, the guys that are hitting off the tee, they know it. They know exactly what it's done to the course.
This isn't fair, so appreciate the question as I try to pose it. But compare Augusta, if you can, to any place that is on the local scene here in Indiana that gets played. Is there anything you can draw a correlation to where people can go, okay, I can kind of see it? I know everybody's seen it on TV, but like you said, it's not the same as walking the course and envisioning it up live. Is there anything that plays the same locally?
No.
Okay.
There's nothing. There's nothing even close. I mean, you might go to a course that has very fast greens.
Uh-huh.
You know, Otter Creek in Columbus, obviously, when they're, you know, they talk about rolling them fast, and they dry out and they get really, really fast. They have what they call a stimp meter, and that stimp meter basically will give you a speed of how these are going to roll. I heard a story one time that they had seen one of the players actually putting in the parking lot. And a guy had asked him what he was doing. He said he was getting used to the speed of the greens at Augusta, because basically that's how they roll. And so, you know, and then on top of that, it's really hard to see once again on TV, but their rough is basically what some people's fairways are, you know, and then after that, it's pine straw. So, unlike a U.S. Open where you can't see your shoes and you're trying to knock the ball out and get it back into play,
yes,
there's not a lot of that here. But what there is that there's never the same lie in the fairway. You might have a downhill or a side hill lie, and then you're hitting to basically what they say a car hood. You're trying to land the ball in an area so you then have an opportunity to somehow get it close enough to maybe two-putt, get your par, and get out of there. And that's the difference with Augusta. Doesn't matter how far you hit it. It's the accuracy and it's the creativity around the greens that's going to really set apart, you know, a great player from, you know, somebody's putting on the green jacket on Sunday.
When did you get down there this week, and what did you see?
So I drove down on Sunday and stayed with a friend of mine on Sunday evening and drove into Augusta with three of my friends. Had a chance to go to a new place that is on property. If you happen to look any of this up, we'll give you just a little bit of information. So if you want to do some research, you can. It's a place called the Berkman's Place that's actually a different area that it's just off of the fifth hole. It's kind of all secluded, and there's a lot of things in there to see and do. And actually, if you do research it or Google it, you're going to find out you're not going to get too much information because it is a very exclusive place. But let's just say that the highlight of walking in there and seeing all four of Bobby Jones's trophies all together from when he won all four definitely was something that I didn't expect to see, and it was an unbelievable sight.
When we talk about, say, membership at Augusta, the word exclusive is certainly used because there are not many, but the word exclusive, that's being pulled away from Augusta somewhat, considering some of the events they have hosted this week, including the women's amateur.
Yes, absolutely. So the women's amateur was actually played, the final round this year was played at Augusta. And so it was a huge, huge deal for women's golf. They played, I believe, the first couple rounds at Champions Gate, which is actually in Augusta. And then the final round, they teed off exactly where all the Masters champions have played, you know, since the 1930s. And they were able to experience something that probably most women probably thought they'd never have an opportunity to do. So it was great to see the expansion of that. The amateur level, obviously, is something that Augusta has really hung their hat on for years and years, because that's actually how it was originally. It was more of an amateur event that then turned into to a professional event. So hats off to all the people at Augusta for making that possible, and it was a great tournament.
As best you can tell, or maybe you've read or someone's passed along information to you, if we compare Augusta to, say, the Indianapolis 500, which has expanded its offerings in recent years to other races during the course of the year. Certainly the Brickyard's now been there for some year. Does this mean Augusta is considering expanding its offerings during the course of the year? Do we still think that window will be very, very small?
I think the window is small. They also hosted the kids are able to do to be a part of the drive, chip, and putt, and that actually those finals were this weekend. Those qualifiers happened during the year, and then all of the youth of the game, which the PGA Tour and the Masters obviously wants to grow. They bring in both boys and girls from all over the country, and they're able to do that. So I think having that done within the past few years, now having the women's amateur, obviously it's baby steps. But who knows? Obviously, you know, it's a beautiful place. It is an exclusive place. I don't think you want to get out of hand with a lot of the things that are there, because it is such a special part of springtime. And in April, you basically know that you have this 1 week where you know, the gods come out to play, and man, it is something to see.
Blake Sandman with us. We're talking the Masters with the tournament set for play this week. Certainly coming off a Final Four weekend, if you want to take a basketball fan who isn't necessarily a golfer, there is a terrific advertising promotional venue for CBS to talk about the Masters from the NCAA tournament into this week of competition. Give me the thoughts, if you can, on someone who doesn't necessarily play golf, but going to the Masters maybe should still be on their bucket list if they're just a fan of history and a fan of sport.
Yeah, obviously, any sports fan. And more people that I talk to over the years, this was my fourth time actually going. And it is something that, I would highly recommend if you're a sports fan trying to get down to. And I would definitely highly recommend going to one of the practice rounds. Those are held on Monday and Tuesday. Obviously, the players are out there this morning, weather permitting. They had some bad weather yesterday. They're going to be able to practice again until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then the par 3 challenge contest is going to go on this afternoon, which is always a really fun part. And then they're getting after it come tomorrow morning. So, but the practice rounds are an opportunity to walk the course. And realistically, whether the players were out there or not, when we walked on the grounds Monday morning, it's great to see your favorite players. It's great to see them hit shots, but there's nothing like walking the property. And I tell you what, for people that talk about stamina, you see a lot of guys, you'll see Freddie Couples and you'll see some of the older guys, when I say older, guys that obviously are not in their 20s and 30s now that are up near 60. It is the fatigue factor for them to be able to walk this course for 4 days, make it into the weekend. When they start to fall off and they start to lose it a little bit, it's more fatigue than it is anything else. Because
especially if maybe occasionally it gets up around 80 and you get some humidity in play.
Absolutely. My friends and I, we feel like we're in pretty good shape. And I tell you, just walking without the mental stress of playing, it is exhausting. And we can stop at the concession stand and do some other things along the way. And I mean, it is the topography of this course. It's really hard. I mean, even if you do a flyover or you go online and you try to understand, you have no idea how hilly Augusta National is. It is unbelievably hilly.
Probably be a dumb question, but I never thought about it until you started talking about how you could stop at the concession stand if you needed a refresher. Are there any rules that stipulate what players can have or not have while they're on the course as far as water, Gatorade, anything like that?
I don't believe so. In fact, it was funny. I was Fred Couples, I mentioned him before. He has a radio show, and I was listening to it yesterday. And there's a few things that you definitely want to do when you're on the grounds. And one is you have to stop at a concession stand, and you've got to get either an egg salad sandwich or a pimento cheese sandwich. And I recommend getting both.
I can't do egg salad. I don't care how historic it may be.
Well,
I can't do it.
I can tell you, we had a guy with us that couldn't do it either until he actually ate it.
Really?
And he realized that he's never had anything that tastes like that. Ever.
Okay.
And going back to the Fred Couples story, he said there's never been a tournament that he has not teed off on the first hole and somebody hands him an egg salad sandwich and he actually eats it. And it's just something he's done ever since he's played there. The really cool thing is the affordability of the concessions.
I remember you telling me that last year.
Yeah, I mean, $1.50 sandwiches, a couple dollars for a Coke,
nice.
$3 for a beer, and all the things you want. But the Masters is the Masters. There's not huge signage.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of walk around the corner and everything is a very dark green. So it all blends in with the event. So you don't see a big sign for, different, manufacturers that have drinks or whatever. It's everything is in green cellophane and it's basic. Everybody's dressed the same and you walk through and it's very, very quick. And you get your sandwiches and your drinks and you move on. Even the trash cans and where the towers are, where they have the cameras, everything is painted the same way to where if you didn't look and see it, you wouldn't notice it. And that's the way this whole course is. They pay attention to so much detail that you cannot imagine how they do it. And they were talking, I believe it was on maybe Sunday afternoon we were going down, and they basically said if they see something that they don't like or something that is going to cause a little bit of a backup, whether it could be at a restroom or at a concession stand or at the gift shop, they will fix it. And the next time you come, you don't have that same problem anymore. And that's the way they do things at Augusta National. And it's all for the patrons.
Now, we've talked about you being down there early this week. back here, obviously, in studio with me here this morning. The mobility of a fan is a more open scenario than it's going to be Thursday through Sunday during the Masters play itself. I was wondering, what kind of security, how closely are they watching fans to take care of any unruly fans, or even a fan who just makes a mistake they didn't intend to, and throw in the fact that you don't get to walk around with your phone for 4 days if you're there?
That's correct, which I tell you, you know, the first time that that happened, I did not realize that, and they kindly came up and they took it from you and they took it to a place to where you can get it at the end of the day. But if, for instance, you decided that you said you were going to keep your phone, you would be escorted out with your phone and that would be the end of it. And not only is that the end of it, you're then on a list to where you are not invited back.
Wow.
So, but the beauty of the place is that not only is it golf fans, but it's and sports fans, is everybody there is the Southern hospitality, whether people are from the East Coast, West Coast, other countries. I mean, people around you, you can hear them talking, obviously, different languages, you know, different accents. Everybody is so obliging and everybody helps out so many people, you know. Everyone throws the trash away. Everybody, you know, excuse me. Oh, you'd like to get a little closer look. Come on in. You know, there's none of the, what you would see at maybe the Waste Management Open, where people are sitting on, you know, that 17th hole all day long and, you know, drinking beer all day long. And it's raucous like that. It's just, it's a different type atmosphere. It's so spectacular from a visual standpoint, but it's also the respect of the players and the respect of the facility. You don't have that. It's just not apparent.